Hello, and welcome to the AWS Morning Brief. I am cloud economist Corey Quinn, coming at you from San Francisco or wherever I find large and obnoxious AWS bills. What happened last week in the world of AWS? We're slowly coming out of our post-reInvent hibernation. Let's see. You can now access resources within your Amazon Virtual Private Cloud, or VPC, as those in the know call it, using Amazon Kinesis Data Analytics. What does that mean? Well, it's not actually clear because no one, including me, can keep all of the various Kinesis-branded data offerings separate. Is it the fire hose? No, this is something else. This is data analytics. It can now apparently talk to things in a VPC, of course, raising the question, why couldn't it do this before? But blog posts never answer that. They're just excited about what can happen now, rather than what didn't used to be possible. Amazon Cognito now supports CloudWatch usage metrics. I'm not entirely sure how actionable this type of release is. If someone by some miracle manages to get Cognito working successfully in production, it doesn't matter what the metrics say. They're not freaking touching that thing again out of fear of breaking something somewhere within Cognito's labyrinthine configuration options. Amazon Comprehend launches multi-label custom classification. That's right. You can now classify various things through it as both walking and chewing gum at the same time. Amazon FSx for Lustre announces AWS repository for Lustre clients. And what a lovely AWS repository it is. Notice how lustrous it is. Amazon SES now lets you use your existing IP address ranges to send email. Now you can help let SES pollute your carefully reputation-managed IP address ranges just as soon as someone in marketing sends an unfortunate email campaign where they really should not have sent it. Amazon SQS now supports 1-minute CloudWatch metrics in all commercial regions. Fantastic. Higher granularity around SQS has been something people have legitimately been asking for a while. The problem is, until recently, it wasn't able to invoke Lambda functions, so you could only have a recurring event firing off to check, as a result getting 1-minute granularity at best when it comes to actioning things that are in that queue. That's no longer the state of things, so it's finally time for them to get a little bit more granular on the metric side, I guess. Amazon Translate introduces batch translation. And I take issue with the release announcement because it says you can now translate things, and I quote, stored in a folder within S3. No, 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 no. S3 is not a file store, it's an object store, and those aren't folders, those are prefixes. By calling it folders, you're encouraging people to think about S3 in ways that are not even slightly helpful, because it's just a hop, skip, and a jump away from there to let's use S3 as a file system, at which point your everything is slow, broken, and fiendishly expensive. Don't do it. Now, that said, you can have everything with a certain prefix uploaded and translated at once in batch, and that's good. But that's not what I'm ranting about. Let me rant about something else, specifically Chaos Search, who is generously sponsoring this ridiculous podcast again. Why? Because they, for whatever reason, have not seen fit to tell me to stop whatever I'm saying about them immediately. They are coming around to positioning themselves as less of a direct Elasticsearch replacement, which they are, API compatible, without the horrible things and complexity of managing things, into effectively a whole host application for doing log analytics. They're approaching it from a different billing direction in the near future. They're also looking at this through a lens of being able to separate out compute from storage, which doesn't really seem to be a thing that any other log analytics offering does. As mentioned in previous weeks, they of course are Elastic API compatible without getting into the slap and tickle fight that is currently going on between Elastic and AWS. My thanks again to Chaos Search for their sponsorship of this ridiculous podcast. To learn more, visit chaossearch.io and tell them that Corey sent you so you can trade war stories about the ridiculous words coming out of my mouth. In other ridiculous words, Amazon Workspaces Migrate enables migration to the Windows 10 desktop experience and the new Workspaces streaming protocol in beta. Yes, that's right. It's not a desktop operating system. It is a desktop experience. I think that means it shows ads. And the new Workspaces streaming protocol in beta is pretty awesome in that it gets much faster refresh screens over latent connections. But the fact that you need an entire migrate tool in order to get onto it still means that for some organizations, it's going to be a bit of a heavy lift. I'm sure that's useful for some folks, but for whatever it's worth, it's not really my use case. AWS Private Link now supports private DNS names for internal and third-party services. This is awesome. I hear this as you can now query your database in Route 53 over Private Link, and I'm all about that. In practice, it means that you can wind up giving custom names for resources that you can then teach your application about, which is awesome when you don't have to wind up putting in a whole bunch of random looking strings that don't align with the rest of how you named anything. More to come on this. I'd need to do some more digging. AWS Systems Manager Quick Setup now supports targeting all instances. And once you've targeted all instances and deployed the wrong thing to them, you've unlocked AWS Systems Manager Performance Management. And that's going to put you on a performance improvement plan, which is a polite way of saying you're about to be fired. You're not going to love that, so be careful with what you deploy to all instances. Something I'm actually a fan of, AWS Transfer for SFTP supports VPC security groups, okay, and Elastic IP addresses, which is huge. This is a big enough offering that I'm kind of astonished that this service shipped without supporting EIPs, because by using an Elastic IP for an SFTP endpoint, people who are using that can now whitelist that IP address in firewall configs. Now, that sounds regressive and ridiculous here in 2020, because generally speaking, you teach things about DNS entries and you don't go at an IP address basis. You just use DNS. The problem is, if you need to provide someone SFTP as a method to access S3, let's just say that your needs might be a smidgen behind the current state of the art. These are legacy-style companies, legacy-style approaches to things, and they aren't very cloud-first. So giving them a static IP is huge. And I love this change. Sorry, I can't make fun of it. I like it too much. Amazon CloudFront launches in 5 new countries: Bulgaria, Greece, Hungary, Kenya, and Romania, which is awesome because there are now more points of presence to update as a part of the taking forever, interminably long CloudFront deployment process. This also, for what it's worth, is the 3rd city on the entire continent of Africa to have a CloudFront Edge location. Meanwhile, Europe is well into the 20s, if not 30s, on this. We're getting there slowly, but it's pretty clear that Africa has not been a strategic priority for CloudFront deployments to date. Introducing AWS Systems Manager Change Calendar. It's probably not super auspicious for this launch that there was a blog post about this feature last month on December 11th, over a month ago, which means the change calendar is already broken. Introducing Workload Shares, an AWS well-architected tool. This is the thin end of a wedge as AWS is starting to dip its toes into the waters of becoming Jira. This effectively identifies things in the well-architected tool and lets you assign them to other groups. That sounds like project management, and I think we already have answers for that. The Amazon Builders Library is now available in 16 languages. It's amazing. I love the Builders Library, but Hacker News is not going to be content with this, and they will continue to object strenuously until one of the Builders Library's many languages is Rust. They've updated a quick start deploy for IBM Cloud Pak, spelled P-A-K, for data on a Red Hat OpenShift container platform cluster on AWS. Now, the big news here is that IBM apparently spells Pak as P-A-K because IBM predates C. There was a blog post on Monday that is now a bit out of date about what Amazon is going to be pronouncing at CES, which was this past week. They had a bunch of different offerings, but they didn't bother to announce anything around a new Kindle e-reader, meaning I am profoundly disappointed. There are a lot of phrases you see starting off AWS blog posts, titles, but this is a new one: urgent and important. Rotate your Amazon RDS, Aurora, and DocumentDB certificates. Digging into this, it turns out that RDS is an awesome system to automate the tedium of managing database instances for you. Oh, by the way, since it's been 5 years since the last time they did this, if you don't update your RDS config and restart your instances, there's a great chance that all of your databases are going to explode in about a month and a half. Happy January. Good luck. Have fun, everyone. How to take advantage of AWS Control Tower and Cloud Endure to migrate workloads to AWS. I've been using Control Tower. I have no Cloud Endure environment because I don't have anything on premises because I set fire to hardware accidentally. But Control Tower was interesting. It had a lot of promise. It was marketed very well, but it's still not there for providing easy templated cookie cutter build out multiple AWS accounts inside your organization. I'm using it. I'm angry about it, and the people I knew on that team are no longer on that team, so I really don't know who to complain to, which means I'm complaining to you, dear listener. Thanks. Using Amazon CloudWatch metric filters and alarms to monitor logs on SonicWall firewalls. That's right, you can now connect Amazon CloudWatch, one of the more complex and depressing monitoring options out there, to SonicWall, the thing used in dentist offices right around 2005. I feel like I don't know what year it is or how anything works in the realm of computers anymore. This just makes me sad. And lastly, the AWS Elastic Beanstalk team has followed the container team's lead and published a roadmap of what they're building. First, holy crap, Beanstalk is still under active development. Secondly, of course this thing is going to live on GitHub, because there is no place on all of AWS's various properties where they could reasonably post a roadmap that encourages and allows customer involvement. You might suggest the forums. I would suggest come up with a funnier joke. And that's what happened last week in AWS. I am cloud economist Corey Quinn. Thank you, as always, to Chaos Search for their generous sponsorship of my ridiculousness. And I will talk to you next week.
This has been a Hubble Pod production.
Stay humble.